Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome to The Big Show. I'll be the first to admit, Ursula, I am not an expert in robotics. Mm-hmm. I know that's a burgeoning field. I know that there are a lot of young people who recognize that that is the future.
Yes.
I'll be the first to admit that I am not an expert in robotics.
Okay.
But based on observation, I am almost positive our new mayor is a robot.
And why is that?
I've just reached that conclusion. I'll play some sound bites coming up here. But, you know, I'm listening to your newscast, and they said the most shocking stat is that we have a 47% increase in homeless people in cars and RVs.
Mm-hmm.
That is shocking. We have a city that has told people you can live in your cars and RVs. We will treat it as a domicile. We won't enforce any of the laws. We'll be unconstitutional and have one set of laws for you that we don't enforce and another set on everybody else if they park for more than 72 hours in front of their house. We've told the people in RVs that you can park anywhere for as long as you want, and we'll leave you alone. We won't give you any citations. And I just want to make sure I understand this. So that's the area where we've had the biggest spike in homelessness?
According to this latest count.
Oh, my goodness. That's stunning to me that the area where we have become the most tolerant city in the world on RV and car living, that we would have a spike in those areas. But let me get back to my robotics observation here. So yesterday, we had this soundbite from Jenny Durkin, and she got stuck on one word. And this is where I think there might be a glitch in Durkin 2018. But the word data, or is it data or data?
It's both.
Thank you. So I can't be wrong.
No.
I love it when I can't be wrong. So anyway, she just got the transformer, got a little stuck on the word data yesterday.
We have a lot of data, none of it perfect, because we've been at this for 2 years, but the way we get data and analyze data has not been as systematic as I would like. But what we do know from looking at the data is if we have enhanced shelters.
So this is what happens. Just kind of get stuck on one word. Let's go to the end of that clip now.
Say the prayer, get their food, get their bunk, and back out on the street. If we have enhanced shelters, the data is very clear.
Yeah. So we have lots of data, apparently. But even with all that data, the data shows that we have a huge spike in homelessness in the areas where the data proves that the city is the most tolerant for people living in their cars. And then yesterday, after I got off the air, I saw that she talked to Essex Porter at Cairo TV. And again, there was a little glitch in Durkin 2018 because solutions became the word that she kind of got stuck on.
I think the city is firmly behind solutions, and I think if they see solutions working, they're going to support us in those solutions.
Okay.
That's your takeaway?
She's just a little robot.
The word?
But what does that sentence even mean? That's three uses of the word solutions.
She wants that to get stuck in your mind. Solutions. It's a positive word.
It's a seven-second soundbite. I'm no math genius, but that's one use of solutions every 2.33 seconds. Here, let me hear this again, because I want to understand what she's saying here.
I think the city is firmly behind solutions, and I think if they see solutions working, they're going to support us in those solutions.
I don't know what any of this means. Here's what I do know with certainty. Did you by any chance see this National Geographic special last night?
No.
Seattle has become the biggest embarrassment in the United States when it comes to drugs. I'm going to play a ton of this audio the rest of this hour, because what we saw is a stunning. I was riveted. A couple listeners brought it to my attention last night and this morning, and I sat and watched the hour documentary. It is the most damning indictment of the politics in Seattle and what that has done to contribute to the drug problem.
I have to watch it. I was at a school board meeting, but I have to watch it.
You have to watch it because they make the link between our progressive politics, the fact that we've become the most tolerant city in the country when it comes to drugs. And I'll start playing these sound clips in just a few seconds here. But you just had a soundbite from Durkin where she said they have to be more transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So we just found out that the South Lake Union homeless encampment that everybody's known about for 2 weeks, but Durkin wouldn't answer any questions about it. And now she admits, yeah, we're going to do this homeless encampment. And she said, yeah, we started talking too soon, but they were just lying. They didn't engage the neighbors. They didn't let the neighbors know that this tiny village, they haven't said, are they going to let people use drugs in it? But the clear failure, I'm trying to think of the right word for this, is that we're letting all of these drug addicts into these encampments. We're spending these hundreds of millions of dollars building tiny houses and all the rest. And we're telling them, in many of them, maybe most of them, you can use heroin, you can use crack, you can use meth, you can drink yourselves to death. So all we're doing is we're giving a roof over the head of a desperate, drug-addicted population. And we're spending hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars. And here's Durkin, after weeks of not answering the question about this South Lake Union encampment.
Why has the city been refusing to answer questions about this when you are clearly so proud of it? And also, why make this announcement before the city has its community engagement meeting tomorrow night?
What we're guilty of is people wanted to start talking to the community right away so we could move right away. And they did it before we announced the final plan.
I seriously can't understand a word the woman says anymore. She's a robot. I don't know what any of this
means. The meeting that they're referring to is tonight at 6.
Right. Yeah.
So there are a lot of people who think, wait, the decision's already been made.
It has been. They said yesterday. They announced yesterday. But we've known about it for 2 weeks.
Yes, because we've had people from the neighborhood say, this is happening. We're upset because there hasn't been, you know, it's kind of been on the down low and they haven't been told about it.
So how can Durkin, in the soundbite you had, say we need to be more transparent when she's done nothing to encourage transparency?
Well, it sounds like she's admitting that this wasn't the best communication or the best method of getting this information out, and that some of it leaked before they were ready to leak it out.
But everybody knew, and they just wouldn't answer it. And now they've made the decision before they talked to the community about it. And then how about this? So they've already got the head tax. They're going to spend hundreds of millions. We're already spending $200 million a year in Seattle and King County, more than any city and county in the nation on homelessness per capita, and the problem keeps getting worse and worse. And here's Sharon Lee, who makes $180,000 a year with the homeless industrial complex called Lehigh. And listen what they're going to say about drugs and alcohol and what it contributes to the homelessness problem.
Will drugs or alcohol be allowed on that sign?
We're still working with the city on that. And so we are looking at a possibility of the rules will be including people, everyone, like people who are clean and sober as well as people who are using.
I swear, you can't get a straight answer out of everybody. So now it's inclusiveness, that if you are a heroin addict and you're going to use the tiny home that the taxpayers paid for, you can still shoot up heroin. And she's saying, we want to be inclusive and we want to include the heroin addicts along with the people who are getting clean and sober. And until we get a grip on this problem of the drugs and the gangs and the cartels and the fact that people are coming to Seattle and the Puget Sound region in droves, we can build 500 beds. We're going to have 5,000 more drug addicts come to our region because of our policies.
So, in other words, you think that, the action of getting as many people as you can off the street immediately, so this plan that the mayor announced, 60 to 90 days trying to get over 500 people out, but wherever they go should be zero drugs, zero alcohol.
Absolutely. You only get a taxpayer-funded home if you get clean, because then you have a chance of getting your life back. All we're doing is we're taking somebody out of a tent alongside the Burke-Yeoman Trail, and we're putting them in a tiny house using heroin on the taxpayer's dime. And it's completely backwards. We talked to Ed Troyer yesterday. And down in Tacoma, he said, hey, our deputies went in. We cleaned out an encampment. And he said, we offered services to everybody in this encampment. Not one person took him up on that.
We've been out there with many different agencies, offer rehabilitation, counseling, And the shocking part about this one, we actually went out there with labor groups and we offered to pay them money to help clean up their own mess. And out of 30 people we offered jobs to help us clean up, not a single one took us up on the offer.
30 people they offered jobs and just said, help us clean up the mess you've made. Help us clean up your heroin needles. Help us clean up your feces. And we'll pay you. And all of these people, every one of the 30 people said, no, I'd rather steal from the people in the neighborhood. And he said there was a bicycle chop shop in this encampment. There were just all kinds of problems. And crime around the encampment just went through the roof.
Well, it was an encampment that was all adults, and they were self-proclaimed campers. They even put up signs in the woods. And unfortunately, our crime spiked hundreds of percent. It was really a detriment on the neighborhood to the point where kids weren't going outside. Neighbors were afraid of the area.
And he told us that the deputies down in Pierce County, they are empowered to handle this stuff. The cops up here in Seattle, they have been completely neutered. No fault of their own. But they've been completely neutered by city leadership, and they're not allowed to clean things up. In Pierce County, they can.
Guys are proactive, go out and do the work, and are rewarded and awarded and acknowledged for what they do. Because they put all day and night and time and energy into this. Saves us a lot of money, saves us a lot of police reports in the future, makes the neighborhood safer, makes the neighbors feel more likely to move around and create economic activity in our areas. It just is, everybody's a winner all the way around.
Dory, did he say, though, where are those 30 people now?
I asked that specific question, and he said they might be coming up to Seattle. And that's the thing. Every street addict in the country wants to come to Seattle now because it's the land of freebies. It's the land where you can use heroin and be given a home. They're going to have a government-sponsored injection center. And that's why I say we could spend, you know, forget about $500 million. We could spend $5 billion on this. And until we clean up the drugs and the gangs and the cartels, we are going to be more of a magnet. And this city's going to be overrun. Let me play for you a couple of these clips. There's a National Geographic documentary called Drugs, Inc. The Fix. And it was about Seattle last night. And I don't think there is a person who would say that National Geographic is right-leaning as a network. But they said it specifically. They said the progressive politics of Seattle have made this one of the drug capitals of the country. And I'm going to play for you a couple of these for you now, and then we're going to continue after Ursula's bottom of the hour news, because you got to hear a lot of this. It is absolutely stunning. They started with a gang member up on Capitol Hill.
It's very unstructured up here, and there's nobody that controls the drug trade. So anybody that's from California, that's an ex-con and or a gang member, they get up here in Seattle and they look around. They don't ever want to leave.
Okay. Seattle has become nirvana for the gang members who sling drugs, and they specifically said it is our liberal politics and laws that have attracted all of these cartels and gangs.
Nicknamed Junkie Town. Seattle's liberal laws and high demand for drugs is attracting gangsters and dealers looking to get rich.
Came up here to this street called Broadway, and I must have seen at least 50 to 75 people dealing. And I asked around, and there's nobody controlled the block at all. It didn't belong to anybody.
When Todd, a member of the Aryan Brotherhood, arrived from California, he found the city ready for the taking.
Being from a gang culture, predatory behavior is just kind of second nature to me. And I didn't see anybody up here that was of the same ilk that I was.
This is the city that the accused child rapist former mayor built. This is the city of Mike O'Brien and Kashama Sawant and Sally Bagshaw and Rob Johnson and every member of the Seattle City Council. And now the whole nation has seen what an embarrassment, not just an embarrassment. I mean, I'm ashamed at what the nation saw last night in this documentary. But I'm also furious because I'm telling you with certainty, with 100% certainty, that if our politicians are just going to spend money and say, oh, we're going to move people off the sidewalk and into a tiny house village, guaranteed 100% that for every person who moves into one of those taxpayer-funded homes, at least two or three or five are going to come from elsewhere in the country. The gangs know it. The gangs know that this region is ripe for the pickings.
To compete, Seattle dealers have joined together to form their own crews.
I'm a hustler that works with a team. And I'm a team player. You know, you can't be successful if you don't have no team. You can't do it by yourself. If you got a team, you're going to get on the grind. You're going to get your money.
And they had to disguise this guy's voice, obviously, and he's wearing a ski mask. But he says, yeah, you got to have a team. We've all banded together on the streets. And that's how they are dominating the drug trade up here now.
There are levels in the game where either you're a user, you're a hustler, or you're a supplier. I'm what you would call middleman supplier, supplier to the hustlers. That's my job. I cook crack every day.
Okay. So you're telling me that this gang member who supplies drugs to the hustlers, you're telling me that he's somehow going to disappear if we tell everybody, hey, use heroin in the tiny house village? Or are more customers going to come here? And you know the answer to this. I can't believe that Mike O'Brien and Kshama Sawant and Sally Bagshaw and Jenny Durkin, I can't believe that they don't recognize the truth of what I'm saying here today. I guarantee that almost every one of my listeners, and maybe there are some of you who think we're on the right path, but there's nobody in their right mind who can listen to what's happening in the drug trade on the streets and think that building a tiny house village is going to make an impact on that. So what does this guy sell here in Seattle?
I sell eight balls, go from 125 to 150. Quarters go from 250 to 300. Ounces go from anywhere from 850 to 1200, depending on the quality and the need.
Okay, so let me pause right there. So they have quality, need, and based on that, they sell up to $1,200 at a time. None of these addicts have jobs, or few of them do. So they're stealing to feed this. And that's why crime spikes around these encampments where they allow people to use drugs. It's as plain as day. And that's why I don't think Jenny Durkin and Mike O'Brien and Kshama Sawant might be. I was going to say, I don't think they're that stupid, but either they are that stupid or they have some really evil ulterior motive to make this the drug capital. But nobody can say that we're on the right path right now. And with all of those announcements yesterday, there's not a soul alive who's got a functioning brain cell who can say that we're doing things the right way. I got to take a quick pause. Ursula's going to check the news. I'm going to play for you a lot more from this National Geographic documentary on the drugs in Seattle. And it illustrates the insanity of progressive politics and how that got us to where we are. And we cannot get out of it as long as these people remain in charge of the city. Much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.